Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Corey Pause is back as quarterback now.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Welcome to another episode of Something's Brewing. How's everybody doing? Episode number 19. Producer Dan, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. I have no 19 jokes.
But I imagine you are excited to announce that we have a co-host this week.
Very excited.
Our first returning guest.
Ooh, that's true.
Yes. Mr. Eric Chenoweth of former KU fame. Eric, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Corey. Thanks for having me on, man.
You bet. Thank you for coming on. Now, mind you, it is Saturday morning. The fact that we are almost on time, all three of us connecting on this, is a freaking miracle. But before we move on, a reminder, this episode is brought to you by Organized Chaos Clothing, a lifestyle brand for our way of life. Don't forget to email us at Corey@somethingsbrewing.com. And let's go. Here we go. Favorite number 19 of all time. I imagine you don't have one, Dan. Eric, no. If you can think off the top of your head of what yours is, while I tell you who mine is, and that is Mr. Tony Gwynn. Mm. God rest his soul. Mm. Let's just take a moment of silence for him. And I'll think about chewing tobacco and how it can kill you. All right. So Tony Gwynn, one of the best hitters of all time. And just an all-around nice guy. Never met him, but seemed like a great guy. You don't know who he is,
not
even Dan. Eric, I don't think you can disagree with what I just said about Tony Gwynn. Is that right?
Best left-handed hitter ever.
Can't, and many would say that's accurate as well. So, okay. We've done this in the past. We're doing it again because I made a huge mistake last week. And did you notice, Dan, what I called the episode last week? You know, I actually called it maybe – I hate when people say honestly, but honestly, I think this is the best episode yet. And then I listened to it, and I didn't even catch it. And then I started getting blown up the next day that I totally messed up the concept that the players, the PGA thing that we talked about.
Oh, no.
That's not a major. I made it sound like it was. I full out said it was. Mm-hmm. And I got a shout out, and I got to give a shout out to my big buddy Katz in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Katz and Moyer, Big Cat, and then the Lutzmeister out of Texas. Two guys.
You have to look at this as progress, though, because
people
that
are listening.
Viewership, they're listening. And yeah. They're chiming in. They're interested. Right. And something's brewing, and you're snowballing, man.
It's a good sign.
Yeah,
but
you can continue to say things that are wrong, I think we've really got something here,
right? I mean, there's still hope. Yeah. I didn't even do that on purpose. You can't make that up,
right?
I just went
off
the cuff.
That's how spontaneous you are.
I went off
with your incorrect information.
Up,
right? It's fantastic.
All right, so
and you have haters as well too, and we love our haters.
Well, Eric was instrumental in getting me on, really amped up about one of the haters. He was he mentored me on how to handle the haters.
Were you fanning that flame?
No, he told me not to say anything, and then we did a whole segment about it.
Well, yeah.
All right, so let's press it. Press it. Remember my transition words?
Yeah.
Because this is about basketball this week, I'm going to try to use basketball transition words.
Nice.
So, pressing on. Full court press.
Yeah.
Jesse Smollett, Chicago. I don't know if you noticed, but he's been in the news again.
What team is he on?
He was on the Empire.
He was on the Empires, and now he's not.
And again, Dan, you and I have done a good job of staying close to the middle from a political standpoint.
I think so.
But here's the reason why this continues to bother me.
Okay.
Because not for the obvious reasons of potential, you know, again, innocent until proven guilty, whatever, right. But not the fact that, you know, a black gay man pretended to be attacked by, you know, crazy MAGA hat wearing people in Chicago. Right. First thing you should have remembered, there's not a lot of Trump supporters in Chicago.
Is that true? So,
first of all.
Well, and they were two like Somali brothers or something that he hired, right?
So forget that.
Forget all that.
Right. My issue is that Chicago, as if Chicago needs to be dragged through the mud for being corrupt anymore. Okay.
Does Chicago have a bit of a reputation?
Yeah. It's called the Windy City. You want to know why? It's not because it's windy with the weather. That's serious. It's called the Windy City because of politics.
Seriously?
Yes. Look it up. Okay.
Because they can sway right or left. They're easily persuaded either way.
So, like
the wind, it goes left or right.
But you have to admit, and again, no political, doesn't matter, but you have to admit that it is pretty messed up story. You got the freaking mayor and the chief of police blowing Smollett, Jesse's mullet up in the full-on media, and then you got Jesse's mullet full on denying it
right
in front of the cameras. It's like a reality show.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's press on. UCLA women's hoops. Mm-hmm. Got to give a shout out to them. Congratulations on a pretty good season. Much better than the men. They lost in the Sweet 16 to UConn. Dan, I know that you don't understand the veracity, if that's the right word.
I'll take it.
How about the dominance
thank
of UConn
you,
women's basketball?
Thank you.
Is that right?
They are the UCLA men's basketball of the 70s. I mean, it's not even fair how much better they are. So if you lose to UConn women's in the tournament, it's like, okay, well, you know, you can't really hang your head about it because it's like losing
to Tom Brady and
exactly.
the Patriots.
Yeah. Exactly.
Basically.
Very similar. Okay. So, before we get into the NCAA bracket, mm-hmm. bracketology, which, ooh. By the way, did you see how difficult it is? You'd think it would be easy just to hit and click and print out a bracket, but to actually get a printed out bracket, I have to sign up for like 5 websites.
And seriously?
I will be getting emails for the rest of the year just so that I can print out this freaking thing. You know, it's like, if you want a bracket, put your email in here. Going to use my side email, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then for years to come, you'll be haunted by all the brackets you signed up that you forgot about.
Oh.
So every March, it's like I get emails from my old high school, my old employer, my old buddies, like everyone you ever joined the past 10 years, you get an email inviting you to sign up for the bracket. And it's like, I don't talk to these people anymore. So you just kind of pick one you want to roll with.
And we unsubscribe.
We talked about this last week, Eric. I haven't filled out a bracket in years because now I can gamble on every game at the palm of my hand. And I think back in the day, I would imagine that the bracket, putting money into the bracket pool at work,
right.
that's got to have been going down
for multiple
reasons. But so before we get into the bracket, though, shout out to one of my favorite NBA players of all time, Manu Ginobili. Love that monkey's butt that he had on his head. It makes me feel good. Meaning he's losing. When he had great long hair 1 year, and then the following year is like he just looks like it just went away in 6 months. But so that's. We have that in common, he and I. But Tim Duncan did a great retirement speech. They retired his number, basically, in San Antonio. And Tim Duncan, who, you know, Eric, you probably agree, he's always been a pretty straight-laced guy. He's just a little bland. He doesn't give you a lot, not a lot of emotion, but a great player, obviously. And Tim Duncan was telling this story, which I never knew this, when he got drafted. Do you know that story, Eric? where he gets drafted at number 46 or something, and the I think it was Stern, David Stern says, and with this 46th pick, San Antonio Spurs draft, Manuel Gina Billy. Hold on, that's his name. So Tim Duncan's telling the story in front of the whole hometown crowd, and it was just a really heartfelt moment. And if you haven't watched it, go back and look at it. So with that, done with the NBA. I am excited though for the playoffs to get started. I don't know about you, Eric, but isn't NBA playoffs so much better than the regular season?
Because it's a completely different season and the guys actually care at that point.
It seems like it, right?
For 82 games, it's posturing to get the seed you want to get. Obviously, it's best to be number one seed, but towards the end of the season, you actually do see teams jockeying to get in a certain spot because they want a better matchup. And it happens all the time. Yeah, and to add some color on Ginobili for you, we talked about my European escapades last time I was on the show.
Which we got some feedback. People loved it, by the way.
Good. I played in Argentina for Libertad de Sunchales in the middle of nowhere, Argentina. And Manny Ginobili's brother was on my team. I played with Manny Ginobili's brother in Argentina.
No way.
Yeah, and he was not the nicest guy in the world. We did not have a relationship, and I was home pretty quickly.
No.
But here's a funny story. I got a hotel room. I had a 12-inch black and white TV in my room and I had a twin bed that I could not fit on. And I had cockroaches under the furniture, stray dogs in the hallway. I remember being there and I called my agent and I said, hey, I need to get out of here. And he's like, what's going on? I'm like, well, I've never broken the law and I've never really ever done anything to feel like I should be in prison. I feel like I'm in prison right now for no reason. Okay, let me get you out of there. I'll call the team and we'll get you on a flight home tomorrow. I said, thank you very much. And I was out of there. And that was it. So there's my Argentina experience with Manny's brother.
Quick question. So Manu was in the NBA already at that time, obviously, right? Or no?
Yes.
Okay.
He was drafted in 99. I was in 2001. This was like 2004.
So was Manu's brother rolling around with big, deep pockets because of his brother, or was he?
Well, he did well for himself because he played in Europe and played in Argentina. He was an established player.
Oh, okay.
He just had no time for me.
Eric? That's his mistake, period.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, because he's the only guy who spoke English really well. So I was like trying to hang out with him. Like, hey, man, let's get a beer. Can we talk? He's like, I have to go. You know, nothing there.
Again, his fault. So before we jump into a recap of the Sweet 16 and a quick preview of the Elite Eight, Eric, you are aware that after we did your first interview, that KU collapsed.
Okay. So I was on the show on December 21st. We were 10-0, number one in the country with a 14-year Big 12 championship run. And you hear that again. 10-0, number one in the country, 14-year Big 12 championship run after coming off a Final Four the year before, right? December 22nd, we lose at Arizona State. We then go 16-10 the rest of the season. We snapped our 14-year conference championship streak. Our starting center, Udoka Azubuike, broke his wrist. Our senior captain, LeGerald Vick, left the team. Marcus Garrett sprained his ankle. Quentin Grimes was no longer a lottery pick. And Silvio D'Souza does not get reinstated.
So I think it's safe to say that something wasn't brewing in KU.
No. So you completely jinxed us. But the season's over now, so I can come back on and talk. But
and why did the senior? Why did that guy leave the team, by the way? What was that?
There's a bunch of theories about it. Some people say that he was dismissed. Some say he had some family issues. There's no official word on it. But it didn't help.
One
us
thing
at all.
We're not going to do on this show is speculate. Okay, all right. So, okay,
never.
Let's hit up. Here we go. I got my bracket that I had to put in my email address to print, and let's go. All right. So first in the East, quick recap of the Sweet 16: Duke, number one Duke versus number four Virginia Tech. Duke comes out on top. Don't think that was surprising to anyone. However, they did get kind of lucky, Eric. Am I right?
They've got lucky back-to-back. I mean, they should have lost to Central Florida the game before. But the thing about great teams is they find a way to win, and that's what they've been doing, and they prevailed. But going through the East games.
LSU, Michigan State.
LSU, Michigan State. Michigan State's just so freaking tough, man. Those guys, Izzo's got them rolling. They're playing really well. LSU came out hot and started well, but they lost their coach, so they're a little disarray over there. But Michigan State is Michigan State.
Okay.
Every year, you don't want to play them in the tournament.
Okay, so quick, before we move on to the Duke-Michigan State preview, did you see that story about Izzo getting a hard time for yelling at the players? Did you see that story?
Yes, because our generation's soft.
Did you see that story, Dan?
No.
Even you would not like this story.
Is that right?
Yeah. He a player made an egregious error, and Izzo calls a timeout and meets the player at half court and is berating him, yelling at him because he made a mistake. And you watch social media spike. Like, if you could back up and watch the spike from who starts going on, people start going crazy that he should resign and get fired because he's yelling at one of his players.
It was the way he was yelling too, though. I mean, he was like, he had his fist clenched. I mean, he would never touch a player, but it was highlighted on a slow day of games, and so they blew it out of proportion. And then, ironically enough, after the game, the kid, mentioned like, yeah, I made a big mistake, and coach loves me and we just want to win. It's all good. So the kid wasn't even bothered by it,
Yeah, well, of course not, because why would it matter about the person that's actually getting it done to him? It matters more about some random person that's got nothing to do that needs to tweet about it. So go fuck yourself. All right, anyway. Okay, so previewing Duke versus Michigan State. By the way, shout out to my right-hand man, Sean, for one of the only Michigan State big fans that I know. So I don't think they're going to beat Duke, or does Duke's luck run out?
I mean, they're right now, the odds are that, Duke's given up 2 points. I'd have to say that their luck runs out. I'm taking Michigan State just because.
So am I.
Michigan State is such a well-run team that they don't have to rely on making crazy big plays to get back in games or win games. They're going to be steady from the start. And Izzo's going to have a great game plan. And I'm picking Michigan State to end the run for Duke.
So am I. Okay, moving into the West, a little birdie told me that they saw you at the Anaheim games. And they said that they barely recognized you. you didn't stand out. And what did you think of the Gonzaga-Florida State game?
Well, I the second half of that game was the best, half of basketball played that day. Obviously, Gonzaga showed their strength and came out and won that game. Brandon Clark's playing phenomenal. Hachi Murray's playing great. I mean, I really like Gonzaga's team this year. Florida State had a good run, but they just ran into a buzzsaw with Gonzaga in the second half. The second game was actual comedy for the first half, because Texas Tech and Michigan, it was 6-6, I believe, at the third timeout, which is at the 12-minute mark. 6-6 after 8 minutes.
Super exciting, huh? Entertaining.
Yeah, no, it was not. And thank God I was in a suite with Humble Bragg.
I like it.
With my boy Mark Sanchez, who I haven't seen in a few years. We used to work out together back in the day, and so we got to catch up and talk. We both have 2-year-old sons, so we're talking about that. But I was.
Does Sanchez still look just great? He's a good-looking guy, isn't he?
He's a good-looking guy. He's got big hands. Like you talk about quarterbacks and hand size.
Yeah, I know.
This guy's got huge hands. I was like looking at his hands, like, geez, these things are huge. But he's doing well. He's actually, I think he's doing some broadcasting work now. But he's a good old boy. So
what do you think about Texas Tech? Who's this this Italian? Who's this Italian I keep reading about? This Morietti guy. Who's this guy?
Yeah. The team is Chris Beard, their coach. That guy can coach, and I've never seen him in live coach, but the guy works the sidelines. He's amazing in timeouts. I mean, he's the hottest name. Love him.
So why doesn't UCLA go after him?
Well, from what I've heard, UCLA is stockpiling cash to make a big move after this season. I'm talking serious cash is being stockpiled by some of their biggest boosters. They're tired of being dismissed as being one of the blue bloods. They have not been competitive like they should have been the past, 10 years. You go back even 20 since they won in 95, who actually saw Coach Herrick at the games on Thursday as well, too.
Oh, nice.
But you see, I'm telling you, I can't tell you what they're going to do. I have a hunch. I have a source. I have a feeling of what they're going to do.
Okay.
If they do it, it is going to be shock and awe. It is going to be huge news, and it is going to immediately put UCLA back into
conversations. I sure hope so. Because
so do I. Being a Southern California kid, like, I would love to see UCLA return to the prominence that UCLA was, for my parents' childhoods and stuff.
So all right, so maybe not the Texas Tech coach, but from what he says, if we don't get this big guy that Eric's going to just dangle over us like he as if he's a puppet master, what do you think about Gonzaga versus Texas Tech? Which, by the way, I still don't understand how Gonzaga can be as good as they are in the middle of nowhere in Washington with, conssistently a bunch of white guys. Like, how can they be as good as they are?
They do an incredible job of recruiting. They're called My Kind of Guys, MKGs. That's what they call them now, My Kind of Guys.
Okay.
Or Our Kind of Guys, where it's a player that fits into their system and their way of playing so that, they're going to run the system correctly. They're going to play the right way. They're going to do things the right way. They don't build those programs on five stars. They build them on, three and sometimes four stars, and
right.
they do the system, and they're good. And here's something too: they're in a super weak conference, so they don't play anybody all year.
Right?
Literally, they play nobody.
That's a great point.
I mean, they beat Duke in Maui early in the season, which was a good win for them. But then they basically take a break for 30 games till they go back in the tournament.
Yeah.
So they're fresh and rolling. Whereas you got Michigan State, who played in the Big Ten and got beat up all year, and Duke in the ACC, which is a gauntlet. So it's a really big advantage for them, and that's why you see them do so well in the tournament every year.
But
if I have to pick, I'm taking Texas Tech.
Okay.
I just Gonzaga is so good and so talented and deep, but their run's going to stop. I just think Tech's going to have a game plan to beat them. Tech just beat a really good Michigan team.
Dominated the Michigan team.
Let's go on to Purdue and Virginia.
Whoa. I want to make one more comment about Gonzaga. This is okay. You're co-hosting. Okay, you're not hosting. But Gonzaga, for all the Midwesterners out there, have not won an NCAA championship, though. Have they ever? As far as you know,
they got to the championship game a couple years ago and lost.
Because they all end up getting beat by a five-star, right?
Carolina beat them, yeah. Then Coach Few and Coach Williams became best friends, and they have a love story to tell now.
Oh, God, so, I can't wait for that 30 for 30.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's jump up to the South, actually, which you were going there. You want to start with Purdue and Tennessee first. That number 14, the outside shooter on Purdue, he had a hell of a game, didn't he? Did you watch that game?
Yeah, well, I watched a part of it from the suite. We had a TV in the suite.
Obviously. I had Tennessee minus watched 1.5, which pissed me off. But
well, it's funny because I was watching that, and the kid got fouled at the last second, and he had 3 free throws.
Yeah.
He could have won the game. It was a foul, and he made 2, went to overtime, and then Purdue won in overtime, obviously. But, Tennessee had a great run, great year. They were number one for a little while. I mean, hats off to them. But I got Purdue losing to Virginia in the South regional final. I mean, I got Gonzaga going on to the Final Four.
Okay.
Virginia going on to the Final Four.
So, and the UVA-Oregon game, I watched that. That was a competitive game, though, the UVA and Oregon game. Did you get a chance to see any of that?
No, I did not get to watch enough of that one.
So I did get to see some of that. Shout out to the last Pac-12 team, obviously, to make it anywhere with the Oregon team. But
yeah.
And then UVA, you don't think Bennett is as good of a coach as other people do. Am I right on that?
I think he's a great coach. I think he's a perfect coach for Virginia. He doesn't bring the flash that you need to recruit the big-time five stars, though. So
okay. Well, that's why I asked, because I've heard his name thrown out there on the UCLA basketball search. And he seemed, from what I see on TV, he seems good, but what you just said right there, though, is obviously
important. If UCLA brought him in, that would be it'd be the safe choice. It'd be, hey, we can hang our hat on this. We know what we're going to get.
Yeah, people aren't going to be mad about hiring Bennett.
No, but okay. If you're really going for it, you got to take some risk and really go all in and see what kind of results you can get.
What do you think? Do you think Bobby Knight's going to come out of retirement?
Don't call him Bobby, by the way. First of all,
that's right. Bob, I heard Knight, him. Yeah, Jesus.
You not call him Bobby.
I'm sorry, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I know. Coach Knight is very happy hunting all over the country, so he's not going to come out of retirement anytime soon.
So moving down to the Midwest, North Carolina versus Auburn. Growing up, I still am a North Carolina fan. I got a soft spot in my heart for him. I loved Eric Montross. Did you love him in college? Not really.
Yeah,
you were jealous.
He made me feel athletic when I watched him play. So yeah,
But I loved his. I just liked him. I don't know why. So Auburn, by the way, I had money on Auburn to win it all for futures. I think I got him at like 10 or 12 to 1.
Great bet right now.
Isn't it? Right? Okay, so you like Auburn, don't you? They're looking good.
They are white hot right now. They beat Kentucky and Kansas in a boat race. I mean, it wasn't even close with the KU game, but they're shooting the ball so very well that if they continue playing like this, they can beat anybody. Really, they're playing so well right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're going to play against Kentucky.
They beat Carolina and Kansas in a boat race. They got Kentucky coming up. They had one of their guards go down with a knee injury. It looks like a torn MCL. Just watched on TV. I don't know what it is. We don't have a diagnosis yet. But Kentucky, I got them beating Kentucky. They're so hot right now.
Hansel,
totally.
Hansel, so hot right now. So I got Kentucky losing to Auburn. I got Michigan State beating Duke. And then today we got I got Virginia beating Purdue, and I got Tech beating Gonzaga.
Who do you have facing off in the finals then on April 8th?
Yeah,
Michigan State versus Auburn.
True, but I got Michigan State beating them, and then we got Virginia is going to be playing
Auburn.
Auburn.
So you got the finals is Michigan State versus Auburn.
Yes.
And who wins that? Auburn?
If they keep playing this hot, yeah. I mean, they can beat anybody right now, as hot as they are.
You got to make a decision, Eric. Michigan State or Auburn?
Michigan State. They're just so tough. Okay. Defend so well.
All right, you heard it here, folks. He's going Michigan State. I'm going Auburn. All right. So, Eric, that was kind of fun. I like that. We're going to have to do this next year.
Sorry for bouncing around so much. I got ADD, so I was just trying to stay focused.
Hey, don't we all? It's just the level of the disease. You know, it's like the spectrum. Okay,
well, it's a disorder. It's not a disease. It's a disorder.
Hey, totally agree. So, all right, we're gonna keep pressing on full court press. All right, so talking a little bit about my week, I did. I had to travel twice. I went to Las Vegas and to Kansas City, but I want to do a quick thing with the audience right now. I want you to. Just listen to me, listen to my voice, close your eyes, take a deep breath. If you're driving, make sure there's not a car in front of you and close your eyes. deep breath in, deep breath out. And I want you to remember the first time you went to Las Vegas. Do you remember, Dan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Do you, Eric?
Yes.
Dan, do you want to add something to the show today or no?
No. the first time I was in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I have a very vivid memory.
'76?
It was 19, should Roughly. I even say? It was about 1981.
Okay.
And I distinctly remember.
Talk to me.
My uncle. Walking down the street being propositioned by a hooker.
Really?
In broad daylight, just outside of Circus.
Oh, my God.
That's my first Vegas
That's
memory.
The first place you got to go.
You got to go to Circus and meet a lady of the night in the afternoon.
Eric, how about you? First time.
Spring of 1990, I was going there for a fifth grade basketball tournament. And we stayed at the beautiful Circus as well.
Nice. Yeah, that is kind of cool when you're young. When you're young,
it's amazing.
Fifth grade, I think my dad gave me a 10 spot, and I went to this massive arcade. and it was
awesome,
like Disneyland on steroids. It was amazing. And I went through that 10 bucks. Well, everybody goes through money fast in Vegas, but I think it took me probably 5 minutes and I was back for more. But it was Circus, spring of 90s, Circus. That's my first.
Okay.
Vegas.
All right. I would say, I would say mine was, I was probably 12. We went on a family trip. We drove the old family truckster. Shout out to Paws 5. Did your family ever have a vanity plate?
No.
How about you, Eric?
Oh, this is a good story here. Well, first of all, my dad had a huge van conversion with captain's chairs and the whole deal.
Us too.
Nice. Yes.
Raised roof? Did you have a raised roof?
No, we didn't. We had a CB radio, so we could talk to truckers on the freeway sometimes.
Did you have a VCR?
No VCR, no TV.
So this is not a competition, but we had a VCR and a TV, just so you're on the same
page. Just so you know who's winning.
What's the point?
All right,
so we had captain's chairs that could spin around, so we had massive card tip games going. Uh-huh. In the back, flat, lay down as a bed. I mean, this thing...
No seatbelts whatsoever.
No. When we finally, my dad like traded it in, I think he got a Snickers and a Diet Pepsi for it, but there was like 450,000 miles in this thing. It was shit.
You just don't see conversion vans anymore.
No, never.
You know?
No.
So did you have a vanity plate or not?
This, you're going to laugh, and I can't believe I'm telling you this. And Danny Farmer's going to love this joke because he actually took this license plate and had it in his office when we used to work together. So when I was in high school, my parents got me a 1992 Ford Explorer, bright red, right? And, of course, I put subwoofers in and everything. And one day my mom goes, "Hey, honey, for your birthday, I got you a license plate." And I said, "Oh, cool. Thanks, Mom. What's it say?" BLCHIPR. Blue chipper.
Wow.
And my dad put it on the car.
I was thinking black chipper, but.
Yeah, no, blue chipper. Because the movie Blue Chipper.
Yeah, I get it. Yes, thank you, Eric.
And I literally said, I'm not driving to school with this thing in my car. I'm not having it. You are. This is not going down. So I drove it to school. If you know Villa Park High School, I parked out by the tennis courts. Backed it up to a wall so you can't see the back. I didn't put the front. After school, I drove to the DMV, took whatever savings I could get a new plate to put on the car. And then that was that plate lasted one day, but it was somewhere in my office. And so
you got to be a pretty big douchebag to have a license plate called Blue Chipper when you're a blue chipper. I'm just kidding.
Hence, it lasted less than 12 hours.
You know what, though? I'll give you credit for getting rid of it, because I was a blue chipper in high school and I had the stupidest. My license plate said Pauser 1, and it was
Pauser
a red
one.
And it was a red convertible. Nice. As if that didn't scream. Yeah, exactly. You know, they charge more for red cars and insurance, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. 'Cause you get more tickets.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, I big time college or high school football player driving around with a red convertible that said Pauser 1. I mean, come on.
Was it a Chrysler or a Baron?
No, it was a Pontiac Sunbird.
Ooh,
stick shift. Can you drive manual, Eric?
If I have to, yes.
Okay. So that's not very well. That was that answer.
You don't want to say no.
Every time I do, if I have to, like, my buddy will come the next day, I'm like, dude, you burned my clutch, man. So I don't stick for
a good idea. That's a dying art. People don't know how to drive stick anymore.
I always assume it's a dead art. Yeah.
Can you get a car in the United States that's manual anymore?
I think you have to pay extra.
Because I know you can get them in Costa Rica.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You can still get Volkswagen Beetles in Costa Rica, like the old ones.
So, all right. So then back real quick, closing out the silly vanity plate. So we were talking about the conversion van. So our family had the conversion van that we just talked about, and that license plate said Pause 5. And Pause so you, 5. It's like, come on. Now looking back, if you got a big parking lot and a shopping mall or something, you know, you're in a small town, you got this giant conversion van that says Pause 5. And she's like, how the hell did my parents get away with that? Like,
it was probably awesome at the time.
I guess,
right?
At the time, but I can't imagine doing that now at all.
No, yeah, no.
No way.
But I'm really jealous of this fan, though.
My mom's been listening lately, so I just got to tell her right now, Mom, I love you, okay? Do not take that the wrong way. I think it was awesome. Just a little embarrassing.
So wait, was there a pause 1, 2, 3, and 4?
No, that's the thing. It was pause 5. We had five people in the family. Yeah. And then pauser 1.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so you guys drove from Chicago to Vegas?
Yeah, they're right. Thanks for letting me getting me back on track. And that's a co-host.
Right.
Okay. Jesus. Yeah. So I got to Vegas in 1992-ish. We did a trip, 2-week like road trip, where we pulled the trailer behind the freaking conversion van. Talk about white trash on steroids. And my brother got mad at me for saying that the other day.
You can't go over 55 miles an hour with a trailer, too.
Oh.
So it took you forever.
We did.
Yeah.
And we'd fall asleep to my mom reading books to my dad. So it was back when they didn't have books on tape. And eventually, years later, they would have books on tape. But I would go to fall asleep in the conversion van to my mom reading to my dad to keep him awake.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'll never forget watching that. Anyway, and then I'll never forget one of my memories of 1990. Was we didn't stay in a big fancy hotel. We stayed in like a motel that was right off the strip, so you could hear the strip. You could hear people having, you know, hookers having sex in the next room.
Right.
And I remember my dad wanted to go gamble, and my mom was like, "Do you really have to go gamble?" He's like, "We're in Vegas." And I remember my dad like kind of getting up after half of us fell asleep. And I remember him sneaking out at like 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. and coming back. I remember him coming back maybe 1:32.
Nice.
And then I remember the conversation in the morning, my mom asking him, like, so how did he do? And I'm sure he lied.
Well, yeah. He's got a brain in his head.
Anyway, that was my first time.
Well, that's awesome.
I was going to Vegas as an adult and a father as well, too. Like, my dad always came back to the room, you know. By the way, leave me. If I ever went with my dad, he would leave me in the room and go downstairs and gamble. You know, that doesn't happen these days now.
No, God.
He'd come back. And I'm like, Dad, did you win any money? Did you win any money? He's like, oh, yeah, I won $50. And you know for sure he's down a couple hundo. But,
yeah. The other thing I love about Vegas, and I'm sure you can attest to this, Eric, because we know Dan can't, is. I'm sorry.
Well, it's probably true.
That sounds really mean. Because when I say what I'm about to say, it does sound mean.
Okay.
And so I apologize for saying that, Dan. Okay. I didn't mean it that way.
All right.
Which
can't wait to hear this.
Yeah. So Eric knows this, and I do too, is when you go to Vegas at 19, 18, 19, 20 years old and you got no money and you still seem to have a freaking awesome time in Vegas.
Amazing.
And then you get a little bit older and then you start going to Vegas with people that are filthy rich. And you're like, holy shit, I can do this in Vegas?
I've been doing this all wrong.
Yeah. So it's like going to Vegas on a budget is still freaking awesome, but it's not the same as going to Vegas with one of your buddies that's worth $100 million.
Right. No, I can't even imagine.
Eric?
Yeah.
So that's why I meant, Dan. You don't know what you're talking
about. Humble brag. I'm sure you have too, Corey. I've flown to Vegas on a private jet before. And it's a pretty cool feeling to land and have a limo waiting, go in, here's your suite, you know, charge whatever you want. It's a different world. It really is. And then the sudden reality is when you get back home and get to your, you know, miserable house and life. You know. But it's fun for 48 hours max. I try not to ever do Vegas more than 36 hours.
There's no
way you can humanly possibly do it more than 36.
I can't do Manhattan for more than 36 hours either. I feel like once I step foot on that island.
Is that right?
It does the same thing to me as Vegas, almost more. I get more amped up as soon as I walk into Manhattan.
Really?
Than I do at Vegas. I don't know. It's just me.
Wow.
But okay.
I was just in New York and I agree.
There's something about it, right? There's something about it.
Yeah. Too many freaking people.
Yeah, it's way too many people. I don't know how people can live there. I'll deal with the traffic in LA over that amount of people in New York City
on every street, in every subway car, and
everywhere.
Day and night. Yeah,
it's nuts. Okay, so we're gonna keep moving on though. But before I do, close your eyes one more time.
Okay.
Does anyone remember the first time you saw the Bellagio water fountains go off to music? Because We had lunch at Spago. Shout out to my folks at Wolfgang Puck. They have a new restaurant. Spago's overlooking the fountains, and I remember thinking about the first. Do you remember that? Do you know how great those fountains are, right?
I certainly do.
Oh, that was pretty cool. You got to admit, that is still cool.
Yeah.
That's still one of the most impressive things on the strip, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But okay, so Kansas City, on the contrary, on Thursday, went to Kansas City on opening day. Shout out to Major League Baseball. That started. But you want to know what I was thinking as I was walking? I did like a 2-mile walk. And I noticed I didn't say jog.
Because in Kansas City?
Yeah, in the morning because I couldn't sleep. There was a baby next to me. We got in late. I slept like 2 hours because there was an infant next to me at the Courtyard Marriott just crying in the middle of the night. And I finally just said, you know what? I turned the TV up. I was like, you guys want to go at it? You know, you and my neighbors, you ready? You ready, mom and dad or whoever's over there? Here we go. Okay. I go over by the door. I didn't hear the kid crying. Let me wake that kid up. You're waking me up. I'll wake that kid up. But here's where my point about the Midwest. Came from the Midwest. You played basketball in Kansas, Eric. But this time of year with no leaves on the trees and just flatness and nothing's green.
Yeah.
And then you leave Kansas City, it's a thunderstorm, and you land in LA, and even though it never rains, everything's still green and just looks better. And then you realize why there is a freaking weather tax put on us here in California.
Well, between all the rain that we had.
Yeah.
Like everything's green now, which places are green now that are never green.
Greener, yeah. It still has a better look than that.
And there's some sort of super bloom, I guess, going on.
With the butterflies?
I don't know. Did you see the butterflies?
I thought I was hallucinating.
It was like Armageddon of butterflies coming all through L.A.
Yeah. What is that?
It's the monarch. It's their migration.
Migration of painted lady.
73. Yeah.
Yeah,
I was on a 73 and got lit up. My whole front of my car was just covered in
in painted lady butterflies.
Yeah. So does it happen every year?
I don't know, but somebody told me they were migrating from Mexico to Portland. Does that sound right, Eric?
It sounds right.
It sounds right because I said it with confidence. Now, the guy that told me that could have been full of it. He was just some dude in a parking lot. But
was he asking for money?
No,
maybe he was right.
You never know.
Okay, so on the plane, here's a couple of things I want to talk about, though. On the flight to Kansas City, I was on Delta, which love when you get to watch all the movies you want for free, by the way. I'm sure all the airlines do that now, but so you go in and out of movies. I hadn't seen Bohemian Rhapsody yet, but I had heard, you know, some people thought it was really good and they loved it. Mm-hmm. But after I couldn't watch all of it. It was just getting a little too much. But I think people loved it because the music is good. Not that movie wasn't great. Do you agree?
I thought it was. Yeah, I thought it was like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It wasn't like
Oscar.
I wasn't blown away or anything.
But it was up for Oscars.
Oh yeah, and what's his name won the Oscar for his portrayal.
Yeah, he did a good job in his portrayal, but the movie wasn't as good. Did you agree, Eric, or did you love the movie?
I thought it was great.
You love the music. That's my point.
Well, Freddie Mercury is the greatest frontman in the history of music. He can do rock, opera, metal. He could do anything. And you talk to, like, humble brag. Like, if I talk to musicians now, they talk about great frontmen in music history. He's the best of all time. It's not even close. It's like him. He's like the UConn women's basketball frontman, basically.
Yes,
and then
absolutely.
And then down. It's him and everybody else. So to see the story kind of behind the scenes is great. I'd give it like a 4 out of 5 stars. I think it's great.
Do you know that Eric is a musician?
I know that he knows musicians.
No, he also can play the drums, actually.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Oh, I need a drummer.
Yes.
for my new punk band.
What do you need?
I need a drummer for my punk band.
I'm in. Let's go.
All right.
Can we think of a name first?
Tiny and the Giant.
Let's do it.
All right.
So, I rewrote my song, my next music video for Sharp.
Oh.
Yeah, AC/DC.
Not going to happen this year.
Yeah. whatever.
So, but you liked it but didn't love it, or you were sort of
liked it
about
because
the whole
thing? My point was I liked it because of the music. I didn't love it. I felt like it was a little overindulgent, but I liked it. I didn't love it.
Yeah. But it does remind you how much you love Queen.
Oh,
holy cow, I forgot.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You're absolutely, that did do that. It 100% did that. On the way home, this is a little embarrassing, though. I hadn't seen the movie Crazy Rich Asians yet. And you know we have to make it an Asian reference every
absolutely.
Week. Usually, typically, it's a Japanese reference. In this case, Singapore, Chinese. But Singapore, even though it's Chinese, is a different planet.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been there. My brother has. But in reading, doing a little more research, Singapore is unique. But have you guys seen the movie Crazy Rich Asians? Have you, Eric?
I haven't seen the movie. Yeah, it was funny, but...
You didn't love it as much as I did. I can tell.
No.
I was brought to tears multiple times.
Seriously?
Yeah. And I have a problem. I think we've talked about this in shows past. I cry on airplanes all the time.
Are you serious?
I don't know what it is. I think it's... Well,
More than usual?
Way more than usual.
Oh, really?
Like, I almost cry almost every time I'm on an airplane. At some point, if it's
confess?
Yeah. You too?
Can I confess that I do this as well? Yeah. So if I'm gone for a couple of days and I start missing my family, on my laptop or my iPad, I have my wedding video on there. So
and
I'll
pull
it up and watch it.
And you'll start crying.
While I'm flying home. Yeah. I'll get the plan.
Well, can I say something? I no longer think you two guys are more macho than me. Because I have never cried on an airplane.
Really?
Because I am not a 10-year-old girl.
Well, I will cry on an airplane listening to Justin Bieber songs.
Okay.
That's it. I'm admitting that.
I got to push the stop button on the recorder.
Yeah,
I
know.
No.
Don't edit
something.
This. I'm not afraid to be open and honest about this.
So, I admit I cried on movies.
Okay, you have. So The Crazy Rich Asians, I cried multiple times. In even though, you know, Nick Young, the main character, is a guy... But I was crying thinking about our girls and what's going to happen when they meet somebody and how that's going to go and the all that stuff. I literally was dabbing my eyes and the guy next to me looked at me a couple times like, why are you fucking the biggest
what is wrong with you
on the history of the world or what?
Wow.
But I love the movie.
Dude, it's a great movie.
I love the movie. So
yeah, I thought it was good.
Okay.
And I was not aware of Awkwafina.
Hey, have you been saving enough money to compete with those type of weddings for your three daughters, Corey?
And that's another reason why I was crying. Thank you, Eric, because I thought to myself, you're watching one of the wealthiest, I assume it's not real, but you realize the level of wealth that existed in Singapore. And when the one girl describes, you know, that she got the bag and she's rich, right?
Yes.
The crazy one that they call her the Asian Ellen.
Yes.
Right. So she's got a $1,000 bag and it's got a map on it. And she's, let me just explain it to you like this. Your boyfriend's family started over here in Beijing.
right.
In the 1800s, they came to this place called Singapore where there was nothing.
And now they own it.
So just to put things in perspective.
Right.
But I mean, that's uber wealth. And I'm not saying that my wife and I are not going to be uber wealthy. I think we will be wealthy someday, but I don't see us getting to that level.
You'll be rich, but not wealthy.
Probably. That's probably right, because I like to spend money way too much. Okay, a couple more things before we move on to Brooklyn's Bridge. Shout out to Rob Gronkowski's retirement. I don't know if he's going to stay retired, but something tells me that he most likely will stay retired. They say that he's barely never spent a dime that he's made, which is contrary to most NFL players. But I love Rob Gronkowski. It will be sad, very sad to me if he does truly stay retired, because I freaking love the guy. Dan, you know who he is, I think, but you don't know him. I don't know him personally either. Eric, what do you think of Rob Gronkowski?
Larger than life personality, one of the best tight ends of all time, multiple Super Bowl champion, you know. Dan will know who he is because he's going to be a famous actor now. So Dan will then know who this guy is.
I will.
He's going to be.
I didn't know he was a football player until you just said tight end. So.
Oh my God! No, he's going to be the next Rock. Like sans the steroids. Like he'll be.
Yeah, but I don't think he's. You said he's going to be the next Rock, meaning
like, does he have that like level of charisma? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's as talented as The Rock is, as from an actor standpoint. I don't think Gronkowski. I think Gronkowski would be maybe sell some products, but I don't think see him being a talented actor. Which I think The Rock is actually a talented actor.
Yeah,
you don't, Dan?
No, I do. I like him a lot.
He's good.
He's charisma personified.
And you know what? Actually, now that I think about it, I have seen a couple of. Clips of Gronkowski doing the WWE, and he was really good there. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, really?
Maybe I'm wrong. Hey. Maybe Eric's right.
Let's see.
We'll see. Hey. Okay, so staying on football for a few more minutes, and don't worry, Eric, we're almost done. You can get back to your life. AAF update. You know, we've been talking about the Alliance of America and Football League. Have you seen any of that, by the way, Eric, on TV?
I'm actually good friends with Joey Roberts, who's the director of player personnel for the entire league. So I follow it very closely.
Okay, so then maybe you can give some points here. So I read this week that they're having a little bit of an issue financially because the NFL Players Union are acting like a bunch of assholes. Can you elaborate a little more?
But I won't say the word that you just said about the PA, but there are some issues there. It's interesting because like the NFL Network has their games on TV, so the NFL is a fan of it, but I guess the NFL PA is pulling back a little bit. I think they need to work out some CBA issues and then they'll be fine. But it was kind of putting the carriage before the horse with assuming they were going to share players, and they got to work those things out and then it'll.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a shame if does your buddy, can you give us any insight if he thinks it's actually going to have to fold? Because that would be a shame.
It won't fold. They'll figure it out. Okay. They've invested too much money to come this far that they're not going to just fold it up.
Because I've enjoyed gambling on it. and I like the fact that it truly is a AAA league for football players, which has not existed. Like the Canadian League, we talked about this last week. You can't count that. NFL Europe's gone. So this really is been a great thing for struggling and wannabe professional football players. But I did read this. So Eminem, you know, the rapper.
Mm-hmm.
I did this last.
You're looking at me like you're not even sure I'm being. Yeah, I know who Eminem is.
His palms are heavy, knees weak. No, how does the beginning start?
Mom's spaghetti.
There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface he looks calm and ready to drop bombs, but he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The crowd grows oh so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. Wow, he's joking now. What'd you think? How was that?
That was not bad at all.
I did mess up the beginning, though. Last week I dropped some Macklemore up in this biatch, Eric. You probably didn't hear it yet. You'll hear it. You haven't listened to 18 yet, have you?
I'm not a fan of white rappers, very much.
You're just not really a fan of white rappers. That's fine. You can leave it there.
Yeah, I never identified with it at all.
Okay. So I can tell that Eric's got to get going with his Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning.
Yeah.
So we're going to try and wrap this up here quickly. My point about Eminem is that he wants to expand the AAF. He's prepared to invest to have an AAF team in Detroit.
Really?
So I didn't just bring up Eminem so I could drop my fucking bombs.
Right. Sure.
I brought it up because it goes with the flow of the show.
So he's going to put
did
a
you
team
like that? Flow of the show.
You've got flow.
I got decent flow.
Has to get a team or do something like that to stay relevant because he's pretty much like, what is he doing? Like,
dude, he's just a hater on white rappers, it seems like.
I bet you don't even like Vanilla Ice.
Don't answer that. Are you about to say you don't like Vanilla Ice?
Dude. Isn't that a given?
I was not drinking the Kool-Aid back. So how about this? The Vanilla Ice tape was playing on the drive to Vegas in 91, by the way.
Thank you.
I knew that was a flash in the pan, one-hit wonder, so I was not a huge Vanilla Ice fan.
Did you like All Right, Stop, Collaborate, and Listen? Hub is back with another acquisition, something that grabs a hold of you tightly, flows like a census daily and nightly. Will it ever stop? Yo, for sure, no. With this group, there's no doubt we will grow. To the extreme, we lock rates like a vandal, light up a stage and wax and like a candle, dance. With RFPs that boom, we're killing competition like a poisonous mushroom. Anyway.
Well, okay. Back to our queen reference.
I apologize.
They mixed in under pressure by Queen, so I thought
you're right.
That's infringement on Queen.
Yeah, so it was.
I took offense to it. Okay, so I'm a purist when it comes to rock and roll.
So I feel like Eric's wife is basically probably saying to him, it's time for you to watch the kid now. So we're almost done, Eric. So we're going to cross over to Brooklyn's Bridge. We hope you stick around for the rest of the show, because if you do, now you're going to know. Okay, today I'm going to talk about something that I've been wanting to talk about for a long time. It's called Notes from the Universe. If you don't wake up every morning and get an email from the universe like I do, I highly recommend considering doing it. I wake up every morning and I get an email from the universe.
Now, is this because of your bracket thing?
No. Oh, I've been doing this. I've been getting these for a long time before the NCAA bracket came in. I never signed up for it. Someone must have signed me up for it.
So you're being literal.
I swear to God.
You get emails from the
universe.
Every
morning called Notes from the Universe. It comes in at about 5 a.m. I wake up, I read it before I do anything else. And the ones I like, I write down, and I'm going to read one of them today. Okay?
Please do.
Yeah. It's called Notes from the Universe. And if you start subscribing and getting them, you will realize why I'm so freaking weird. Okay. So this is the one I wanted to read for everybody today. It says, you know, Corey, you have many gifts, extraordinary gifts, gifts of perception, insight, and creativity, gifts of preferences, leanings, and inclinations. But there is one, oh yes, just one, that while often overlooked is the most sublime and profound of all, availing you of wonders beyond wonder and the power to wonder some more. It is, of course, to think, to choose a focus, to see the world however you like, and to experience it accordingly. I mean, what else do you give someone who wants it all? Now, when I read that to you, was that not fucking powerful?
It was very powerful.
So imagine me in bed,
right,
reading that at 5:30 in the morning. The covers fly off, right? It's like a horror movie. The covers fly off. I jump out of bed. My clothes miraculously get put on me.
Right.
I don't even have to take a shower. I get cleaned on my way to the kitchen somehow, right? And then I drink a cup of coffee, get in my car. It starts automatically.
Right, of course.
And I pretty much finds its way wherever I want to go.
That's amazing.
So, anyway, in closing,
I'm looking for the unsubscribe button personally.
Hey, well, that's his opinion. And you know what they say about opinions?
No.
They're like assholes. Everybody's got one. Okay. Anyway, in closing, I hope you have a great rest of your morning, a sun-filled afternoon, or a freaking awesome evening. And remember, if you keep a positive attitude, something's always brewing. Boom.
Corey Pons is back at quarterback now. Throws in the end zone. Gets it away. Deep down the middle.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.